Welcome back to Darkness on the Edge of Town, paranormal radio show. The cool kids call it Darkness Radio. I'm Tim Dennis, that's Jessica Freeberg, and JJ is producing tonight. I tell you, this next guest is a good friend of our show and has a very interesting new book out there. You know, ever since Star Wars first appeared on the silver screen, people have been fascinated by being able to use the Force. It's a fantasy of theirs. It's something that they would actually love to be able to do and try. And in fact, Jessica, you had mentioned to me that you... That the Easter Bunny tried to give him the Force?
My son, who is now almost 13, when he was, I think, about four, he asked the Easter Bunny to bring him the Force. And when he did, I was like, oh, snap, how am I going to get that in an Easter egg? But I bought him some Easter eggs that were the Jedi ones.
That must be it right there.
That's it right there.
Yeah.
And I told him when he opened his basket that that was the Force. And so he was trying to use it all day. And when I'd walk past and he'd use it on me, I'd go flying up against the wall and be like, whoa, that's powerful. But he'd be like doing it to the dog and the dog wouldn't move, or his sister. And he was like, why isn't it working on them?
You're a cruel and unusual mother.
I know.
But people have been trying to harness the Force, or the thought of the Force is an attractive thing to them. And Joshua has this new book out. And it is called Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. And in this book, Joshua guides you through the lessons of legendary Jedi masters to reveal how Jedi science encompasses the law of attraction and how you can draw on the universe's energy to achieve your dreams. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town paranormal radio show, Joshua P. Warren. Good evening, sir.
Hey, good evening, Tim. It's great to have this discussion with you on the program tonight, sir.
And I'm happy to have it with you. You know, after basically turning to the dark side in the first hour and bringing doom and gloom, we probably should talk about something a little more light. Although, interestingly enough, when we were talking off air right before the show, you had said that you and your wife had a conversation just the other night about conspiracy theories behind CERN. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Just last night we were at dinner and we were talking about a variety of unusual scientific experimentation that's taking place around the world. And she started asking me about CERN and some of the, well, if you will, conspiracies about what it's capable of doing. And, you know, I'm reminded of that great quote by Einstein: if we knew what we were doing, we wouldn't call it research.
Mm-hmm.
And so we always have to consider there is going to be an unknown element, but personally, I don't feel like that humans have yet attained the power to destroy the Earth. I mean, when they were about to detonate the first atomic bomb, there were some extremely smart scientists who felt there was a good probability the atmosphere could catch on fire and that that would destroy everything on Earth. So I think, hey, maybe someday, but we're not quite that powerful yet, thank goodness.
Are we not that powerful, or are we that naive that we don't have that knowledge yet?
Well, obviously, humans are very naive and egocentric. There's no doubt about that. But I would say that if we do destroy ourselves that way, it will be one of the best ways possible to go. You won't even know what happened. It'll just be lights out.
That's true. That's very true.
There is, on the bright side.
Funny that you're finding a positive in all this, Joshua. I'm telling you. But you're absolutely right. It's one of those things where there'd be little or no warning if something like that were to happen, which I guess is a little unnerving, but at the same time kind of soothing because you wouldn't know what would happen. Let's talk a little bit about using the Force. And I'm assuming here, now I'm going to ask you this question right off the bat, because you still have the wishing machine out there. Is this a natural extension of the wishing machine, the use of Jedi science? Are you continuing on to figure out the law of attraction in this particular context?
Absolutely. I feel like that this book can be used as a handbook for all forms of manifestation exercises, whether you're using a wishing machine or a wand, or if you're somebody who just wants to be very organic and use ancient magical practices. But, you know, basically, the idea for this book stems from the fact that, you know, I was a kid of the 70s and 80s. I've always been a big Star Wars fan.
Mm-hmm.
And Star Wars is a very paranormal franchise. I mean, the movies are full of telekinesis and telepathy. You have ghosts in there. And, of course, all these years that I've been studying ghosts and UFOs and cryptids and psychic phenomena. What I've really been doing is looking at the relationship between matter and energy. And so it doesn't matter if you're in the laboratory and you're trying to use Tesla coils and electrostatic generators to manifest a ghost or some kind of a tulpa, or if you are sitting there literally trying to manifest a good day for yourself, or you know, more money, or a good relationship, or better wellness. All these things are sort of connected to how far that we as humans are able to sort of bend and shape reality. What is the nature of that mind-body-environment relationship? And as I studied this, and of course I've been doing experiments in my laboratory for about 25 years, I realized that, you know, when you start taking into consideration what we've learned from literally thousands of years of religion and philosophy and theology and physics and metaphysics, it just beautifully ties into the mythology of Star Wars. And I started comparing notes between what was in the Star Wars paradigm related to these things, and it dovetailed so clearly. I realized this was a great sort of allegory for communicating some of these otherwise very mystical ideas in a way that are more understandable to today's more commercial pop culture-oriented marketplace. And so this book is a very specific hands-on guide, because I realized that when you want to manifest things in the most pure way, you can't just rely on wishful thinking. We all know pure wishful thinking only goes so far.
Right.
There are some certain techniques you have to use if you want this to work properly.
Well, let me stop you real quick here, Joshua, because before we get to that point, I want to ask you now, a lot of people assume that when George Lucas and Lawrence Kasdan got together and they were forming this thing called the Force, that it was George Lucas's way of putting religion into a movie without forcing a religious belief. Now, do you think it was more complex than that? Do you think George had more on his mind at that point? Or do you think he threw a theory out there and tied it loosely to some other things and hoped that somebody else would connect the dots?
Well, you know, that's a great question, because I actually started this book out by exploring a little bit about who George Lucas is and just how consciously some of this kind of philosophy was inserted into his stories. And it's funny because Lucas himself has always been kind of mysterious, if you will. He doesn't sort of blatantly ever come out and define what he's done. He says that when he was studying film, that he went to Japan and he spent a lot of time watching these period dramas where you have farmers fighting samurai, and those were called Jidageki, and that is where the word Jedi comes from. And there you have the symbolism of the samurai warriors who have these impressive swords, who are out there, you know, training in this very spiritual manner. And so certainly he was basing it upon at least an Eastern kind of mindset. But when it comes to describing the Force more specifically, for example, you know, the Force is—it's called or referred to as a religion very early on in the first movie that was released, Episode mm-hmm. 4, and also, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi defines it as an energy field created by all living things that surrounds us and penetrates us and binds the galaxy together. These are very, you know, sort of specific descriptions that he gives, and we can't say for sure if he was kind of winging it and almost subconsciously, you know, put this kind of material in because it felt right to him, or if there was a very strategic, conscious effort made. But I think that the one thing which separates the Star Wars movies from any other kind of typical sci-fi fantasy is the Force. I mean, it is that spiritual tone that resonates with people all around the world. And so whether it was done intentionally or not, it has elevated it to the point where, you know, you now literally have people out there who call themselves Jedis, and they believe in a and what they call the Jedi religion, and they are always out there trying to get legislation in place so that they are represented in politics. It's very interesting how that, in a way, fiction has transformed into fact, and I think what I've done with this book is just shown why that's happened, because so much of it rings true.
But do you really believe that, okay, speaking of those particular groups that are trying to get things passed through legislation or whatnot, are they just sci-fi geeks who have gone a step too far and maybe aren't living all in reality? Or do you think they see things in a deeper way than most people who watch the movie would see them?
Oh, I think that they're very serious for the most part. And obviously, you know, you do have people out there who are just having fun and who would do this kind of thing almost to thumb their nose at the tradition, the status quo, especially in the political world. But I think that, you know, basically the people who have taken this seriously, they have discovered for themselves the same things that I've written about in this book. They have realized that the force is a great sort of condensation of the very best points of religion and spirituality and all these things that unfortunately have been treated in a very sloppy manner and have been abused and used as excuses for horrible war and violence and unjust behavior. The force at its finest takes the best parts of all that and it puts them all together in a very nice, harmonious way.
Well, I tell you what, Joshua, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about how you separate yourself from science fiction and what we know as the Star Wars universe and actually get yourself ready to realize the Force as something physical and spiritual that you can actually use in your daily life. We'll do that next. You're listening to the best in Paranormal Talk Radio. Our guest is Joshua P. Warren. This is Darkness Radio. Best in Paranormal Talk Radio. This is Darkness Radio. Tim Dennis, Jessica Freeberg, and JJ sitting in with you on a Thursday night. And our guest is Joshua P. Warren from Speaking of Strange, which, by the way, if you go to speakingofstrange.com, I want to get that right, Joshua. I don't want to say Streaking of Strange because people will try to put that in the internet browser. Speakingofstrange.com is your radio show, and people should definitely tune into that. If you want to get a hold of Joshua's new book, it's called Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. It's available right now on Amazon.com, both in Kindle and paperback edition. Now, Joshua, before the break, I teased that I wanted to get into the topic of how we get out of our sci-fi geekdom in thinking of what the Force may be, or wishing that, hey, it'd be really cool to have the Force, to actually getting ourselves prepared to think of the Force as something real, spiritual, and physical, and how we start to tap into that. First of all, I need your advice as someone who's done the work behind this. If I'm the skeptical sci-fi fan and I hear, oh, God, use the Force, sure, you're right. Is this going to work for me? Is this something that I can change my mindset and get into this? Or is this something that I should probably just stay away from?
Oh, this will work absolutely even better if you are that type of person who has a skeptical approach. And the reason is because you will understand even more clearly, perhaps, the mechanism that's at work here. The real crux of this is what a hardcore scientist would call sympathetic resonance. Now, what this means, for example, is if we have a large room that has two identical pianos inside of it, and one man walks into that room and he goes up to one piano and bangs a chord, the second piano will also produce the sound of that chord, even though he hasn't touched it. You can also do this with tuning forks. I've done it many times. If you strike a tuning fork, another tuning fork nearby will start resonating just because it's within close proximity. You can go to YouTube and watch videos of this. And what that means is that when a signal is transmitted or broadcast, it activates a corresponding signal that comes back. So whatever goes out literally stimulates an identical energy that comes back to the sender. And this is a very scientific way of looking at what you might even think of more simply as something like basic karma. But we know we can find the facts and the math behind how this works. I mean, it kind of boils down to Newton's law. For every action, there's an opposite but equal reaction. And so the idea here is that right now, you are sending out all kinds of signals. And the signals that you're sending out is creating a reaction for what is coming back to you in a very physical, tangible way. But if you're not conscious of what you're sending out, you are projecting a bunch of noise, basically. And what the techniques in this book do is teach you how to turn that noise into music. Because if you refine your thoughts in a very particular way, according to this time-worn system here, then you will only project the things that are going to allow you to change what's happening around you. So in essence, the world around you begins with an energy mold, and the physical matter adheres to that mold. So you begin to influence that energy mold with your thoughts, and then matter will rearrange itself and conform to that. And so that's a very sort of specific way of understanding how it works. And bearing that in mind, we get into the techniques for how you start to tune your mind to do that.
Okay. Before we do that or get to that part, I have to ask you, so is there a light side and dark side to this particular force? Can your thoughts actually cause the force to work against you?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, there is a whole chapter in this book called simply The Dark Side. And the reason that there is a dark side is that this thing, which people call the law of attraction, functions no differently than the law of gravity. It is an indifferent principle. So that means gravity, for example, is your friend most of the time because it keeps you from flying off into outer space. On the other hand, if you're in an airplane and the engine stops, well, all of a sudden, gravity's not your friend anymore. And it doesn't matter whether you believe in gravity. I mean, I've never seen anybody run off a cliff and not fall because they didn't believe in gravity.
Very true.
So this can be used either way for good purposes and for bad purposes. And I spell out in the chapter on the dark side some very particular historic reasons to believe that Adolf Hitler was the real Darth Vader. And I'm not just saying that because I'm tossing out some convenient opinion. Mm-hmm. I say that because the very first person to ever actually write the term, law of attraction in a book, was a mystic author in the late 1800s named Madame Blavatsky. Now, her works became practically required reading for a German society called the Thule Society, which became the number one sponsor of the Nazi Party. And Adolf Hitler kept a particular book by Madame Blavatsky on his nightstand, and we presume that he often read it before he drifted off to sleep. Now, what are the chances that a guy like Adolf Hitler, who came from nowhere, who was a complete failure, and then rose so quickly to almost take the entire world over, would be reading the first book that includes the term law of attraction in it before he goes to sleep? It's not a coincidence, and it shows us the spooky truth that you can use this for good purposes or bad purposes, but if you use it for bad purposes, well, guess what? It always ends up being self-destructive, and you can see what happened to Adolf Hitler and the people who followed him down that pathway.
Mm-hmm. And silly as it may sound, Adolf Hitler may have been the first Sith Lord. If he truly was using the law of attraction and was not using it for good purposes, well, then he would have gone down that dark side. And actually, when you look at the parallels between Darth Vader and Adolf Hitler, you know, you have Darth Vader who blew up Alderaan. You have, you know, Adolf Hitler who did what he did with the Jews in the Holocaust. You've got similar parallels to people who followed down that particular path. And it makes you wonder, even as George Lucas is putting together the Star Wars trilogy, in his mind, is Darth Vader the reincarnation in space of Adolf Hitler?
Oh, I think so. I mean, the imagery is everywhere. I mean, for example, calling the Empire's their goons, the stormtroopers. Well, that's a term that's taken directly from the Nazis. You know, mm-hmm. they had the groups they called the stormtroop, and basically the exact same word. And those were guys who were, you know, shock forces, who were the first men you would send out if you wanted to just really, you know, blast through ruthlessly a new territory or a city. And not only that, you can see how George Lucas went on to invent Indiana Jones. And the Indiana Jones movies are also very paranormally themed. And, of course, the bad guys are usually the Nazis as well. So,
right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think, you know, he definitely saw the Nazis as being clearly representatives of the dark side of the Force.
Well, when we come back, Joshua, we're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about how we make that transition into realizing that the Force is a real thing and how we begin to use it in our everyday lives and how we take Jedi science and make it science fact rather than science fiction. We'll do that in a moment. The book is called Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. It's available right now on Amazon.com in both paperback and Kindle edition. And if you want to hear more of Joshua P. Warren, you can go to his website, speakingofstrange.com, and you can listen to his radio show there. When we come back, more on using the Force. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio.
You're listening to Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, an iHeart radio station.
Here's a look at your Weather Channel forecast.
This weather is sponsored by the Cremation Society of Minnesota. We'll see just a few passing clouds out there tonight, a low in the mid-50s. Clouds mixed with sunshine, blustery, breezy, and cool on Friday. Occasional showers, highs in the mid-60s. Over the weekend, a mix of clouds and sunshine, highs back in the lower 70s. Average high this time of year is right at 70. I'm meteorologist Mark Thibodeau from the Weather Channel on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130.
Currently 70 degrees and partly cloudy around the metro. I'm Todd. News and weather at the top and bottom of every hour and when it breaks on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130.
Your lucky number at Mills Fleet Farm is 60. To celebrate our 60th anniversary, get 60% off KT Songbird Blend Wild Bird Food, LaCrosse Alpha Light Pull-On Knee Boots. Plus, get 60% off a Comfort Zone Deluxe Utility Ceiling Mount Heater, a 60th anniversary extra large folding chair, and Malt-O-Meal Bag Cereals. They're all 60% off. Plus, win a $60 gift card too. 100 winners from each store at Mills Fleet Farm's 60th anniversary celebration.
Love it. Shane Company's the only jeweler in town with our own full-time diamond buyers who handpick every diamond one at a time at the diamond cutters. No matter what other jewelers may claim, there's only one true direct importer of diamonds, and that's Shane Company.
Ah, Friday traffic out of the city is the worst. I'm so happy we're almost there.
Yeah, about that. I can't remember if I locked the front door or if I set the alarm force system. Do we turn back?
Actually, I can do both right from my smartphone with Alarm Force Connect. There, all done.
Alarm Force Connect. Remotely arm or disarm your system and even lock your doors from anywhere.
Call 1-800-267-2001. Alarm Force.
Stop what you're doing right now and listen to this message very carefully. If you're one of the thousands of homeowners that were affected by this most recent hailstorm, take a minute to pause, breathe, and relax. Your roof is not leaking, and your siding is not falling off. You don't need to be pressured into making a quick, impulsive decision just because guys are knocking on your door and blowing up your phone. And just because your neighbor signed a contract the day after the storm doesn't mean you have to too. What are we, people or a bunch of sheep? I'm Charles Thayer with All Around. This is your opportunity to put the right local, award-winning restoration and remodeling team on your project. We're not just a roofing and siding company. We know the insurance process very well and can help you make the most of your claim. After all, it's not about who can put a yard sign in your yard first. It's about what's best for your home. Go to allaround.com. That's allaround.com.
All Around. We get it done and we do it right.
Are you ready to take your diabetes management to the next level? Put the ContourNex meter to the test and challenge your meter. The ContourNex meter makes testing easy and highly accurate with close to lab level results. And J.D. Power ranked Bayer's portfolio of meters highest in customer satisfaction with blood glucose meters. So take the challenge. Go to ContourNextChallenge.com, get a free meter, and enter to win free test strips. Find Contour next at your local Walgreens.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. The only thing I didn't learn in school today is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios, your Fox News update starts now.
Fox News Radio, I'm Brett Larson. Residents in California getting frustrated because they just want to go home. Many finding a temporary home at the Napa County Fairgrounds.
I got to get out of here. I want to see my house or what's left of it. I want to start rebuilding. It's time.
Thousands have had to evacuate their homes while firefighters work to maintain the upper hand with nearly a half dozen wildfires burning in the Golden State. The three American heroes who took down a terrorist on a train heading for Paris last month were at the Pentagon Thursday, being honored with the Airman's Medal, Purple Heart, and Soldier's Medal.
It's an amazing story, right out of a movie. And Alex, Spencer, and Anthony have been rightly celebrated on both sides of the Atlantic.
Secretary of Defense Ash Carter. The three also had a chance to meet with President Obama at the Oval Office in the White House. And the Federal Reserve says no to a rate increase. Fox News, we report, you decide.
So do I listen to Rush Limbaugh?
Do I listen to Rush? Of course.
Rush Limbaugh.
Imagine how much they know about this.
Weekday mornings at 11. Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Welcome back to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. Tim Dennis, Jessica Freeberg, and JJ with you. Our guest this evening is Joshua P. Warren. The book is Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. Before we get back to Joshua, just real quick here, a couple of prayer and healing requests. We do prayer and healing requests online mainly, but there's a few that we want to mention on air tonight that if you just put out some positive energy, some white light prayers, whatever it is that you do to for these particular people, we'd appreciate it. First of all, our good friend Dana Wingard from Phenom Events ran Phenomenology and also this past weekend's Paranormal Disney trip. Unfortunately, lost her sister over the weekend, or actually just recently in the last day or two. Shouldn't say over the weekend, but it was in the last day or two. Her sister went into hospice, and it happened very quickly that her sister passed away. So we want to pass along any, if you can just pray for strength for her and her family in this time of need, we'd appreciate that as well. Also, a good friend of the show, Ginger, has her husband has entered into hospice, and he is in his last days as well. So we just want to make sure that you send prayers out to Ginger in Minneapolis about that her husband makes a smooth transition. As far as she reports, things are going okay with that, but he's been very sick for a very long time, and it looks like he's about to lose his battle as well. So our prayers go out to Ginger in Minneapolis as well, that her husband has a smooth transition to the next plane. With that, Joshua P. Warren is our guest. Joshua, now I'll ask you this because actually it was something that Jessica had brought up during the break. When we do things like, and go ahead, Jessica, when we do things like prayer and healing requests.
I wonder, you know, you're talking about putting these positive thoughts into the universe for ourselves. How does that work on a more global perspective?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, Jessica. I think it's extremely important, and the reason that prayer has remained so integral to our lives is because that prayer absolutely can and often does work. And, you know, prayer is another form of this kind of manifestation work. Unfortunately, often when there is a prayer, the people who are involved are a little bit disorganized in terms of how they're thinking about the outcome that they want. And so it's very important whenever you're trying to manifest anything, whether you're doing it through the lens of prayer or you're doing it through some kind of more stringent ritual, to be very specific about precisely how you want these things to manifest. But I believe that one of the things which denotes our growth toward what Michio Kaku calls a type one civilization, in which that we reach some enlightenment which allows us to stop destroying ourselves and to start sort of efficiently making use of all the good things that we have on this planet and working in harmony with them, depends on our ability to collectively work together and to take into consideration the idea that if you project nothing but positivity, then it is impossible for anything bad to come back to you. And of course, that sounds unbelievable. It sounds amazing. It sounds outrageous. And yet every single one of the great ascended masters, all of the religious leaders have told us this in one way or another. Every single one of them have said it. And it's just very difficult for people to believe it.
What happens, Joshua, if you have a person who calls himself a realist but would like to get to this level of positivity, but in the same way, their world affects their mood? So life may not be going so good. It's not that they necessarily start the downward spiral, but you know what? Life just isn't good right now. How am I going to stay positive when things are happening to me that I don't want to happen to me? Is it possible that life just happens, or are you attracting that bad stuff to yourself?
Okay, great question. Let me tell everybody this first off before I get into this point, mm-hmm. Because this ties directly in. I have created something which I call a good luck charm that will help every single person listening to the show tonight. It's free. It's a digital product you can have tonight. If you go to my website, joshuapwarren.com, there's no period after the P, joshuapwarren.com, put your email address in my little e-news bank there. It takes 2 seconds. Hit the button, and you'll get an email with a link. And when you download this, it's going to help you start the process, and I'll tell you how this works. There are two stages that are very important. Number one, and this is the most important thing that you can possibly do, it's so hard, but it's so important, so everybody really listen to this, stay away from things that make you feel bad. Mm-hmm. And again, it's so simple, but it's so hard for people to do. The problem is, if you are around something that makes you feel bad, well, guess what? You are projecting those bad feelings and that bad transmission, and those bad things are going to keep coming back to you, and that is a downward spiral. So it doesn't matter if it's a person or if it's a media outlet or if it's a job. It really doesn't matter. You have to stay away from things that make you feel bad, and that includes memories. And there's a whole section of the book that talks about how to take bad memories that have built up as a plaque and to remove those. And there's a very significant reason you have to do this. In my laboratory over the years, we have done a lot of experiments with biofeedback. And what you find is that when somebody is exposed to something that makes them happy, they're eating an ice cream cone, they're listening to a piece of music they like, they're looking at pictures of puppies, whatever, the literal, physical, measurable bioenergy that's coming from their body is very strong and pronounced. You show them something, however, that's negative. You show them pictures of, you know, violent acts. You say hateful things to them. Well, the opposite happens. Their energy field literally drops, and it's not as powerful. And you don't have to use fancy technology to see that. When somebody's proud, what do? They hold their head high. They have good posture. Somebody's feeling down, what do? They hang their head. They stoop. It's kind of like Clark Kent shuffling around and then transforming into Superman. Mm-hmm. Where suddenly he's nice and powerful and upright. And so literally negative things physically, physiologically weaken you. And if you're going to start using the force, you have to be powerful. And to be powerful, you have to remove negative influences from your life and from your thinking, because all that really matters is what's in your head. There may be a planet out there made of cotton candy where unicorns are flying around, and if I don't know about it, it's not real to me. So what's important is what's real to you, and you have to be selective about what you put in your head. Now, that done, here's where the second important thing comes in to help you clear your mind and prepare yourself to use the Force. And this is where this good luck charm will help on my website. The most important thing you can probably do once you get a nice, clear sort of canvas there is also based on something that Einstein once said. Einstein said, to paraphrase, perhaps the most important decision that we can make is whether or not we're living in a friendly or an unfriendly universe. And so every single day when you get up, the foundation that you have to lay there is that you are living in a friendly, supportive universe that wants you to be happy and succeed. It doesn't matter if you believe that or not. You just have to pretend it. And when you start believing that, suddenly, almost within 24 hours, you will start to see almost miraculous, magical little things start to happen that make your life and your day much better. And basically, what we are showing here is that however this process works, if you begin to treat the universe as if it is a living, conscious thing that wants you to be happy and succeed, the universe will start to behave that way. And so once you have that foundation laid, then you can start digging into the actual techniques to start controlling the vibes you're putting out specifically to make things happen around you.
Now, the question I have for you, Joshua, is going back to step one. And after I ask you this and get your answer, we'll take a break. But you have, you know, you say get the first step is to get away from all bad influences, whether it be people, things, memories, et cetera. What if the people you're around are people that you can't necessarily get away from? Let's say it's a spouse. Let's say it's a family member.
Yeah.
Let's say it's a situation where it's not so easy to escape from that. Can I still use that good luck charm to change my circumstances?
Well, you know, the answer is yes. The great thing is, when you actually start using the Force properly, you can actually start influencing the way that these people are treating you. You need a period of time away from them regardless. It doesn't matter if you're related to them or not. You have to at least minimize it. And a part of minimizing it goes back to a technique I talk about in the book, which comes from the Hawaiian Huna. And it's a very simple but very memorable phrase. Energy flows where attention goes. What that means is that when you are dealing with a negative person or somebody who is trying to bully you or make you feel guilty about something, you have to be very cognizant of the fact that you can use what we can call here the old Jedi mind trick. And what that really entails is being very selective about giving power to the parts of the interaction that you want to amplify, and denying that power to things that you do not want to amplify by ignoring them or not addressing them, and literally using a judo-like approach to sort of swaying the interaction and minimizing the impact that it makes on you negatively. I think one of the biggest problems that people have is that, you know, along with our genes, and along with the love that fortunately many of us get from our parents, we also inherit their fears. And of course, in many cases, like you were saying, you know, if you have a parent or a family member, you can't just disown them, and I'm not suggesting you do that. But you also cannot continue the pattern that has allowed them to maybe make mistakes that you need to grow past, that you need to grow out of. It goes back to the old phrase that misery loves company. When you start using the Force properly and you start seeing positive things come into your life, there are people who will resent you for that. And there's actually is kind of a scary stage that you go through, because nothing in your life can change and improve without other things breaking down. And so you're going to go through this period of time where you're going to see a lot of things sort of fall apart, and it's very scary. And I address this in the book saying, don't panic. This is what must happen in order for things to regroup with this much better form that's good for everybody, including the ones that you love and the ones that you want to help.
All right. And with that, Joshua, let's take our last break of the hour. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Force, how you can use it. The book is Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. Go to joshuapwarren.com right now, joshuapwarren.com, to get your good luck charm. And when we come back, we'll talk more about using the Force on the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. Welcome back to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. Our guest tonight is Joshua P. Warren. You can go to his site right now, joshuapwarren.com, and get a hold of that good luck charm that he's talking about. Also, if you want to check out his radio show, speakingofstrange.com. The book is Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. And we've got maybe about 5 minutes left in this segment here, Joshua. I want to bring up something to you that before we really get into the inner workings of the Force that I have to put out there for you. When people take a look at what you're describing or what you've described in this particular hour, it sounds a lot like The Secret or The Law of Attraction, but with a few extra mechanics thrown in. And I know a lot of people who have tried The Secret, who've tried The Law of Attraction, and say, it just doesn't work for me. It's never worked for me. What is it? Is there an extra mechanism that you need to turn this on, or is there just something that somebody's missing when they try something like The Secret or The Law of Attraction?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the first thing that I did so many years ago was read every book I could get my hands on about the law of attraction. I still listen to audiobooks about it, and I hear a lot of different points of view, and I've experimented with it myself, and I've looked at my friends and my family members who have experimented, and I've taken notes on what works and what doesn't. And what I've realized here is that when people get kind of this easy-to-digest version of the law of attraction, it basically boils down to them as, hey, you just envision what you want hard enough, you stay positive, and you're going to get it. It'll just appear for you magically. And that's just not true. That's not how it works. Basically, you have to go through this preparation period of clearing your mind and getting rid of negativity. That's number one. Number two is, you can't just say, okay, I have, you know, $20 in my pocket, but I'm going to be a millionaire tomorrow. I'm going to be a millionaire tomorrow and expect that to happen, because when you say that to yourself, it doesn't feel honest. It feels untrue. And so the key here is not just wishing for what you want, so to speak, but actually taking a moment to understand the real increments in terms of what is going to honestly make you feel you can project these things. So in other words, instead of, you know, going from I have $20, I want to be a millionaire, go from I have $20 to I want $100. Okay. And then from there you go from 100 to 1,000, etc. Did you ever notice that I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, you know, $100 seemed like some unattainable amount of money.
Oh, yeah.
And when I finally got $100, well, it was gone in no time. And then $100 would come and go like nothing. And so next I wanted $1,000. And finally I got $1,000. And after that, well, $1,000 would come and go. And so what you find is that when you have already achieved something, it's easier for you to progress and get what you want in steps. But you have to word, you have to think about, and you have to word what you want in a very particular way so that it feels like something you can actually accomplish. And so there are so many little nuances here that you must take into consideration. And these are the things that I've condensed into this book by looking at all these different perspectives on manifestation and trying them out and seeing what actually works for people. And the stuff in this book works.
Let me ask you this. I'm going to give you a personal scenario of my own here. And you tell me where I'm right and where I'm wrong, okay? It's been well known by the listeners of our show that I've had particular issues with my feet having to do with diabetes. A few years ago, I almost lost a middle toe on my right foot. I was told that prepare to lose it because it was a hammer toe. It was constantly infected. It was never getting better. Without surgery, I was going to lose it. Doctor tells me it's going to happen. Prepare yourself for it to happen. In my mind, I tell myself that is not a possibility. It is not going to happen. I'm going to get my insurance to come through in time so that I can get the surgery so that they can straighten out my toe. The infection's going to go away. I'm going to be fine. It happens that way. Everything's fine. I have the surgery. The infection clears up. I keep my toe. Now, the second scenario is I keep envisioning myself winning the lottery. I mean, not just like, you know, like, oh, it'd be nice to win it. I could see myself winning it. I can see myself, you know, enjoying the spoils of it, whatever. But that has yet to come true, although I have won $100 five times at Powerball. So with 30 seconds left, you tell me where I went wrong with one scenario and right with the other.
Well, that's a very good question again, and I don't know if we can do it in 30 seconds, but okay. Let me just tease it with this.
Okay.
I have been very, very successful as a gambler. And as a matter of fact, I think when we were in Michigan, I don't know if you were around, I came up one night and I just said, hey, I put $10 in a machine and I turned it into $500 within like 2 minutes.
I did see that, yeah.
That happens to me all the time. There's a big, when it comes to gambling, and I talk about this in the book, there's a certain technique that you have to use. When we come back from the break, I will tell you what the difference is and how you can be a successful gambler if that's what you want to do.
All right, and we'll do that when we come back. We'll find out how to do that, how to manifest that from Joshua P. Warren. The book is called Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. You can get it right now on Amazon in Kindle form and in paperback. And by all means as well, go to joshuapwarren.com right now. Sign up for his email list and get your downloadable good luck charm. Again, once again, that's joshuapwarren.com. When we come back, Joshua tells us how to win as a gambler. I can't wait. I can't wait for this particular segment. It's all coming up next on the best in Paranormal Talk Radio. This is Darkness Radio.